Mobius's Code by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer Beta. I don't know, Mobius, Afail put the code design on the desk, hesitantly. It's your call, of course, if for no other reason than that no host in creation wants to deal with this nightmare. I kind of topped out at the reality inside reality, and this, quite frankly, I don't even seem to grasp. My personal feeling is that it has just about as much hope of working as hell has to freeze over. But then again, we don't have hell anymore, after your little trinket deity erased it, so I'm going to keep an open mind. On the bright side, you already broke most of reality, and whatever is left of it your clueless charge is sure to make a meal of, so, what do you need from me? I need you to approve this, Mobius handed him the last page of the code design. Since the world had turned upside down, the dutiful angel had been looking for a way to fix the fundamental nature of the universe after the fact and revert the scrambled pieces of reality to an elegant, mathematically coherent whole. He experimented with every acceptable variation of the master code, all of which provided no noticeable benefit and, if anything, seemed to complicate things even more, until a breakthrough burst into his mind with great intensity, an idea which in every theoretical model worked flawlessly, coalescing all the wave functions into a simple and splendidly efficient design. You want to change the Planck constant? Afail gasped, incredulous. Why? I figured if we slightly rev up the energy of the system, the limits of tolerance, which seem to be the problem right now, would be broad enough in relationship to the fundamental particle frequency that any exception would be cancelled out in the interference pattern. Besides, the code is too slow right now anyway, it could do with a little boost, Mobius started defending his design. Too slow compared to what? It's been like that since creation, well, at least since this last creation, and it worked just fine until you decided to mess with it. Well, for one, the photons are kind of sluggish. What could possibly be the benefit of altering the speed of light? Afail became suddenly defensive. He had conceived the speed of light a long time ago, while he was still a virtue, and it had remained his pride and joy to this day. Very few designs afforded the flexibility required by a gigantic system constantly growing, constantly in flux, and did not need to be updated regularly to keep up with new demands. Surely one couldn't find fault with this simple code which stood the test of time like a perfect jewel. Mobius realized he had stepped into protected territory and retreated in search of a more diplomatic approach. There is nothing wrong with the speed of light per se, it's just that the system could benefit from being a little more dynamic, more energy rich. Mobius, this is a massive undertaking, you can't possibly control all the outcomes, Afail hesitated. Unbeknown to Mobius, his boss had been recently tasked with finding ways to boost the energy of the construct, and the concept of speeding up the whole complex without having to add anything in, however outlandish, sounded tempting. He stared at Mobius, frowning. The latter had an uncanny ability to anticipate future needs which made him a priceless asset for the department, if only a little aggravating at times. Are you sure you can handle this workload? Yeah. Mobius answered tentatively. Afail let out an ominous sigh and buried his nose in the code again, trying to figure out what potential danger areas to look for. Of course, all the wave functions will remain the same, Mobius rushed to reassure him. It's just a constant value. See, the beauty of this is that we don't have to alter the code structure at all, we just enhance its internal dynamic by controllable degrees. As for the constant itself, I would only have to increase it by a minimal amount, no larger than 10 to the negative 12. I'm concerned that it won't be enough to return the system to equilibrium, but it should be a safe start. I hope you're right, Afail replied unconvinced. Well, make a local model and let me look at it next week, I'll be tied up with other stuff until then. Local model only, Mobius. He stared at the angel as he got up to signal that the meeting was over. He started walking towards the door and then suddenly turned around. Since we're trying to balance the limits of tolerance, the model would be pointless in the absence of a live element. Get the undead human to test it, okay? She could stand to make herself useful for a change. The radiant light of the morning glowed in shimmery hues of blue and violet, so intense Jennifer had to squint. When her sight adjusted to the unusual brightness, she thought there was something wrong with it, because everything seemed to vibrate with an inner source of power in a world where all the warm range of the color spectrum had been filtered out. There were gaps in the familiar surroundings where things used to be, but the things themselves were no longer there, at least not as far as she could see. Instead, the world was filled with weird shapes which seemed to serve no apparent function, and which all glowed intensely in a color she'd never seen before, a color which at times seemed to be almost transparent, letting every detail of the shapes show through, like a three-dimensional x-ray. Jennifer gaped at the weird and surreal things, trying to figure out if they were actually there or she'd finally started hallucinating. As she moved closer to one of them, reality started bouncing in response to her motion, stretching and bulging like an enormous water balloon falling down the stairs. Waves of being formed on its yielding surface, and the streaks of not being between them had no essence, as if the pigment of creation had been removed with a big cosmic eraser and the underlying canvas was left bare of energy and matter, a no man's land between existences. The waves made the elastic fabric of reality stretch out past the breaking point in places, ripping its surface and letting the even deeper essence behind it show through, an essence whose light intensity was almost unbearable and whose discrete sharp spears of else poked through. Their light illuminated the mundane matter, revealing the strange way in which its particles swirled and wound around themselves and making it impossible to tell the edges of objects up close. Jennifer wobbled down the sidewalk, trying not to overexcite its elastic reflex, towards one of the weird indigo shapes, and she stumbled on an invisible object in the process, an object which she reconstructed from memory to be a bright yellow fire hydrant. She looked around and saw there were no yellow objects anywhere, or orange, or red for that matter. The closest to a warm hue she could make out was a large yellow-green heavenly body which gleamed menacingly overhead. She finally reached one of the glowing indigo objects, and as she tried to touch it, her hand went through it and diffracted. For a whisper of an angel's breath, she felt like she had touched every surface of the object at the same time, and then all the projections of her hand settled onto the top surface and collapsed into a fixed position. The object was solid from what she could tell, and she was solid too, and yet their substances went through each other, unimpeded, as if they belonged to different overlapping realities, slightly out of phase. Every step she took felt like falling through something she couldn't see but had no doubt was there, something that self-healed behind her footsteps as she passed through it. "Mobius," she tried to whisper, and the soft sound of her voice came out in a pitch so high it instantly gave her a headache. She instinctively lowered her vocal register. "Mobius." "Good morning, Jennifer," the latter walked towards her, bouncing waves into the surroundings as he approached. "Sorry about the audible spectrum, I'm afraid it got pushed up a few octaves."
"Is this heaven?"
Jennifer chirped like a sped-up chipmunk. "No, but that's an interesting assumption, we're in a local copy of reality, I'm testing code." "I thought you were going to say hell." "You said hell got erased," Jennifer replied, unperturbed by the yellow-green whatever that hovered over her. "What happened to the warm colors?" "I'm afraid that between your biological apparatus and the changes in the energy of light frequencies, you can't perceive the lower visible range anymore, but you gained up on the higher end of the spectrum. Ultraviolet light, isn't it beautiful? 3 quadrillion hertz and it goes straight through everything. I'll have to revise the gravitational bend, of course, but one thing at a time." "What's with the new objects? Why did you bring the new objects, and what are they for?"
"I didn't bring anything. This is what reality looks like when you change the range of what you are able to perceive.
I'm not sure about the utility question. Why does anything exist? Surely the solar system doesn't serve a function, it just is.
What about the new moon?"
Jennifer pointed at the celestial object hanging low over her head.
"That's not a moon, it's a sulfur dust particle. The sulfur molecules tend to get grabby in this environment for some reason. They will find each other anywhere and clump together until they get too heavy and drop to the ground. This one seems to be pretty close to landing size, don't stand under it."
"Don't worry, it's harmless," he answered Jennifer's unspoken concern. "It falls slower than a feather through molasses, I haven't figured out why yet."
"Listen, Jennifer, I have a lot of work to do, can you stay here for a while and play with this environment? Call me if anything goes pear-shaped."
"This place is the definition of pear-shaped. How would I even know if something went wrong?"
Jennifer meant to ask, but Mobius was already gone.
Mobius had been so busy with his new energy efficiency project he didn't have time to check on Jennifer, who he thought should be mature enough by now to keep herself occupied without the need for constant supervision. He wasn't entirely wrong about that, but the thing is, time had different significance in the realm of the angels. After she finished reorganizing the pottery shed and exploring the fast-growing universe the little pendant had created in unconstructed space, Jennifer still had enough time left to get bored. Her last experience with enhanced reality had left her a bit rattled, and she wasn't eager to visit the world below. She couldn't shake the sped-up vision of it, the one with no warm colors and weird multidimensional objects flowing through her hands. Even if the hybrid version the little silver pendant had created was in no way weird, compared to what she had recently experienced, the fact that reality could change on a dime made her anxious.
What good did it do one to be forever if one had no safe place to lay one's head? After taking a few moments to ponder on the need for permanence and inviolability of what one calls home, the perfect solution to her problem emerged. She was going to spend time in the Akashic Library, the one place in creation that had been forever and was impervious to change. In light of the consequences of her last trip, she was determined to be very careful and put everything back where it belonged. Truth be told, she didn't intend to forego the restricted sections, which she could now peruse at length, without worry of being interrupted. The library looked a little different, she didn't know why. It was more of a feeling than an actual experience, which Jennifer decided to ignore. After all, even if something had changed in the Eternal Archives, it was not up to her to fix it, and as such, nothing that she should worry about. Row after row of packed shelves filled with infinite variations on every human life, endless knowledge, things that hadn't happened yet, or even more interesting, would never happen in the universe that she knew, events from before creation, the lives and feats of the hosts, all there to indulge her curiosity and delight. There was one thing that had plagued Jennifer's mind ever since she'd learned about this divine repository of everything. She couldn't wrap her mind around the fact that everything that existed or ever will be had been designed in its entirety before the beginning, and Mobius' latest experiment presented her with an unexpected chance to test the theory. She started looking for the physics section to see whether the change in the relationship between frequency and energy had been written in the stars before the universe began, together with everything else. She knew very well where that section was. She'd been spending a good amount of time there the last time she had visited the records, and the fact that she and Mobius had to look for the cat in its every nook and cranny had helped map out the place in her mind to the point where she thought she could walk it with her eyes closed, stretch her hand out and reach exactly what she was looking for. But this time it seemed that she was wrong, because she kept getting lost and running around in circles, and she invariably ended up in the main reading room, the one that felt strange when she arrived. She couldn't understand what she was doing wrong. All she had to do was walk straight down the main corridor, take a left at the first branch and walk on it all the way to the end, where the physics section was, and yet every time she kept emerging in the reading room for some reason. She thought maybe the hosts had decided to reorganize that area, but she dismissed the possibility, with everyone being so busy right now, cleaning up the Akashic records must have been the last item on the to-do list. She set aside what she thought she knew and looked for the wayfinding system. She was very glad she did. There was a very visible sign hanging above the doorway at the opposite end of the hall pointing to the science library and clarifying in smaller font what sections were included. Physics was one of them. They did reorganize this branch, Jennifer thought. Or maybe the records are smart enough to organize themselves around new concepts, like that little fractal world the pendant had created. She shrugged off the thought and decided not to care. She wasn't going to understand the explanation anyway, if there was one. The space where all the wonders of science were supposed to fit was the size of a small classroom, if memory served, and even after all this time and all of her experiences in unconstructed space, which should have taught her that space was an elastic property rather than a constrictive container, she was still taken aback by the logical impossibility. She hesitated before going through the opening, as if there was something on the other side of it that was too much for her to handle, but she shrugged off the silly thought, because she knew exactly what she was going to find. She could see it clearly from her side. The energy and frequency section was just halfway down the corridor in the other room. As she stepped through the doorway, she had the strangest feeling that she had entered a living entity, definitely intelligent, a being of sorts of whom she was now a part, just like the shelving, and the books, and the stone tiles on the floor. What she couldn't see, because there were no mirrors in the hall, was that when she stepped through the doorway herself lost containment, expanding her consciousness in concentric, rapidly expanding waves around what used to be her body. Some of the waves reached the ceiling and went through it out into whatever was beyond it. The rest of her being quickly filled the room and spilled into the adjacent ones through every open door, suffusing the shelves and the books and the walls and the wayfinding systems with her essence. Mobius. A failed thought boomed, exasperated, seeming to come out of every atom in the space and reverberating dizzying echoes in Jennifer's mind. She stopped, petrified in fear at its unexpected loudness. Mobius, she whispered a desperate plea for help as softly as she could manage after she regained her wits. A resigned sigh answered both requests, followed by a tired uttering, "Oh, God."